Streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin along the Gulf Coast of Texas and northeastern Mexico, where officials say three people have now died from Tropical Storm Alberto's pounding rains. Storm surge has left some parts of Texas underwater. CBS's Dave Malkoff is in Corpus Christi.
This street in the city now looks like a river, and with Alberto in the Gulf slowly creeping towards landfall, there is still time to dump rain and storm surge on parts of Texas.
Alberto's expected to weaken quickly and clear out tonight. At least two people have now died in wildfires that have destroyed around 1,400 homes and buildings in New Mexico. Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham.
We are very concerned about the potential loss of life. We know that there are several people still unaccounted for.
Heavy storms in hard-hit Ruidoso are raising the threat of flash flooding. Another day of 90-plus degree heat will usher in this first day of summer in parts of the Northeast. The name of the game for Gerhard Arndt, a landscaper in Philly.
Just keeping cool, you know, maybe putting your head under a hose. Whatever you have to do to keep cool, it's super important right now.
The high there today, 93. In Bangor, Maine, it'll be 96. A new report shows we earthlings are using more fossil fuels than ever before.
Despite a record rise in the use of renewable energy last year, global consumption of the fossil fuels linked to climate change also hit a record high. Co-author Nick Waith of the Energy Institute.
At a global level, we're simply not moving fast enough.
He says fossil fuel use is falling in the U.S. and Europe. Most of last year's record rise was driven by China. Vicki Barker, CBS News, London.
The House Ethics Committee confirms it's reviewing allegations of sexual misconduct, drug use, and obstruction against Florida Republican Matt Gaetz. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
The House Ethics Committee rarely even says publicly the sky is blue and water is wet. They put this statement out there as an indication they're taking this seriously, and that both parties signed off on announcing this expanded investigation.
Prosecutors in New Mexico say they have new evidence showing Alec Baldwin pointed his gun at a crew member and fired a blank round on the set of his movie Rust before the cinematographer was shot and killed. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The prosecution needs to be able to show that there was something unique in Baldwin's performance that proves that he was grossly negligent or reckless with the gun. It seems like they have video of him handling the gun too casually throughout the day.
Baldwin's manslaughter trial is scheduled to begin July 9th. S&P futures up 20. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. DNA testing confirms an arm found on an Illinois beach belonged to Shardae Robinson. Maxwell Anderson is accused of killing and dismembering the 19-year-old Milwaukee Area Technical College student in April. Other remains were found at different places around southeast Wisconsin. A big explosion Wednesday morning rocked downtown Madison and Civic Media's John and Gordy show. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
John and Gordy were about to wrap up their show when
they do crank out the
Good Lord.
What was that?
It shook nearby buildings, including Short Stack Eatery. Co-owner Sinead McHugh talked to our Gordy Young.
I totally thought it was thunder.
Two construction workers were hurt, but they're expected to be okay. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
A good night for the Brewers' Freddie Peralta.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 2-0 win over the Angels. After a couple of rough outings, the Brewers' ace, Freddie Peralta, pitched 6 scoreless innings. Manager Pat Murphy.
I thought Freddie was terrific. His focus was really good. He was consistent when his windup and delivery are consistent. His pace is consistent. Really proud that Freddie battled the way he did tonight.
It's the Brewers' fourth series win in a row. Tonight, they open a 4-game set in San Diego Diego against the Padres. NFL former Packers tackle David Bakhtiari on ESPN asked, how does he think the Jets will do with Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think it's very wise for any betting man to say that Aaron Rodgers is not going to make the playoffs. I mean, if you even just look at his total career, he's only missed it a very few times. And most of the times he has missed has been from injury. And I know even I've been on one of the teams, even when he did miss the majority of the season because of injury, he still came back.
That's David Bakhtiari with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms with a high near 74. For tonight, showers and storms and a low around 63. On Friday, slight chance of a storm, otherwise mostly sunny, highs near 77. Saturday, scattered storms, mostly cloudy, high of 89.
It's 67 right now.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to a very special Devil's Advocates radio show this Thursday. We'll be both stirring the pot and cooking with gas. Friday Eve, tune in Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. The Shaw, WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to Thursday. Welcome to the start of summer. Showing up later today, it's 6:06 on this Thursday, June 20th, 2024. And it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. We appreciate you listening all across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the Civic Media app. You can also watch us on a live video feed on the Up North News Facebook page. Same goes for the Civic Media Facebook page and the Up North News YouTube page. And if this is a little early in the morning for you, keep in mind you can listen on demand by podcast. Go to whatever platform you use and take us along with you. We appreciate it very much. I got a question for you. Did the Milwaukee boy do good on Top Chef? The question is yes, or the answer is yes, but did he do good enough to win? We'll answer that question in just a moment with superfan Luke Mathers. But first, to tell you what else is going on, we're gonna bring up a little fact check on Donald Trump and his appearance in Racine this week. He didn't tell one or two little white lies. He had some whoppers in there. And in fact, one fact checker stopped at 30 different things that were lies, falsehoods, just things that were flat out wrong. We'll review those things. And again, don't let that intimidate you to go, oh, there's just so much, I don't even try. Just keep one or two of them in mind because you're going to be in a conversation with somebody and they're going to say, well, Trump said this. And you can say, well, actually, and then correct them. Our second hour has our Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by Motherhood for Good, and we will catch up with one of the sweetest people to ever be on a ballot in Wisconsin. Of course, I'm talking about Lou Ann Bird, and we'll catch up with her campaign. Let's see, we'll talk about some other headlines in the news. I know Louisiana has a new law mandating that classrooms display the Ten Commandments, which is, I mean, it's just a little odd given that this week is the anniversary of a landmark Supreme Court decision that was designed to, you know, separate church and state when it comes to our public education. So we'll get to that. Let's see, it's Thursday. Who's normally here on Thursday at 7:50? It's Luke Mathers, who's here now. Still continuing to break in Studio A2, and I don't mean like breaking and entering, but breaking it in. Mr. Mathers, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Crailo. I'm doing well. Unfortunately, volleyball got canceled last night. The court was essentially looked a little bit like the Olympic pool in Indianapolis, where just water, standing water. So no volleyball, but that means I'm a little more chipper this morning because I got more sleep than I was expecting.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny that you mentioned that because I did
I did hear a news report today, and I'm just looking to, yep, I have to confirm that, and this may not be the only time you hear this, we've had so much rain lately that in Trempealeau County, south of Eau Claire, they've had to cancel the dairy breakfast that was planned for Saturday.
Oh, no.
The fields are just too wet. They're going to reschedule something in the fall, sometime after harvest, and they'll have some kind of a community get-together to celebrate our dairy farmers. And I think that if you have any plans like that, going to a dairy breakfast or anything where that much rain has fallen, you might want to check ahead of time because, I mean, look, if Luke's volleyball can get canceled, it could happen to anybody.
It could happen to the best of us, yeah.
The National Weather Service continues to warn that there are plenty of places, especially up north, where the rains were such that flooding is still a problem. The Chippewa River is still very high running through here. I'm very glad that my dock sections are zip tied because, you know.
Are the zip ties secured? You had to go out and check them yesterday morning.
My dock looks like a big old Jenga thing right now. And eventually it's going to have to be put back together and hopefully none of them float away. But you have that happen occasionally. I think sometimes people really don't appreciate the power of that much moving water.
Yeah.
And what it does. But so far, so good. You know, but you can only lift the boat so high on the boat lift. And after that, you know, it's just like, well, if she goes, she goes. But we haven't had that issue quite yet. So
that's good.
Anyway, so no spoiler alerts. We'll get to Top Chef at 6:30, except to say that you did watch it. You mm-hmm. didn't have to stay up too far past your bedtime.
Correct.
For it. So we'll get into that just a little bit later on. But back to your task this week of getting this brand new studio in Madison up and ready to go. Yes, the Civic Media banner looks nice, but I'm getting to the technical aspect of it. Are we doing phone calls today or are we doing texts?
I'm going to test it real quick, but let's lean towards text still. But I have a feeling if you want to be a guinea pig like Pat and give us a call at 855-75-CIVIC, we can see if you can hear me in the return. So we can use it as a learning experience for all.
I like that. All right. See, now we've got to have like a little bunch of like token prizes that we just give away, like spur of the moment.
Hey, I got some Brewers tickets for next week. If anybody wants to be the guinea pig and try in and it works, I'll send you to one of the Brewers games with the Rangers coming to town.
Do you know what you just did? You just promised that if somebody calls in and they can talk to you,
yeah,
they'll get Brewers tickets.
Yeah.
But if you can't hear them, it's like, well, thanks for calling anyway.
Exactly.
No game for you.
You only get the token prize if it works. Come on.
Wow. This is unique. I have never experienced anything
like this.
If they
can't hear me tell them that they won the tickets, then how do they know they won the tickets? That's the whole part of the test.
Oh, my God. We've created Schrodinger's radio prize. You may have won it. You may not have won it. 855-75-CIVIC. We'll see if somebody feels like calling in and testing fate and going to a Brewers-Rangers game. Speaking of the Brewers, and these West Coast games, I go through baseball withdrawal. I mean, 6:30, 7 o'clock last night. Again, I'm used to thinking about turning
the TV
on.
Thinking about where's the game, and it's not
yep.
there.
Yep, no, nothing. But I did find out this morning that the Brewers did take 2 out of 3 against the Angels, beating Anaheim last night 2-0 in a pitcher's duel. Freddie Peralta went 6, striking out 8, giving up just 3 hits. With Willie Mays passing this week, it just occurs to me just the differences in the game, mm-hmm. Luke. How I almost get genuinely happy that a starting pitcher went 6 innings when, careful, grandpa alert, back in my day, I mean, starting pitchers went 9+. You know, relievers weren't a thing, and you didn't see nearly the Tommy John injuries and things like that. It's such a weird world now where 6 innings is like, you know, a big deal.
Yeah. Well, we got to the point. It's one of those things, Pat, where as time goes on, the game evolves and hitters became a lot. They've gotten better since even, I think, Willie's era. So mm-hmm. it's like when you have hitters that can really just send the ball, you're going to get to a point where pitchers late in the game, 6th, 7th, 8th inning, start to have that fatigue and their fastballs start to slow down a little bit. Their curveballs start to not curve as much. And it's one of those things where then batters would be able to take advantage. And so now with all of the analytics, everybody turning off from the sports talk.
You hear a buzzer? I think I hear a buzzer.
Oh, there it is.
That's sounding. Oh, there it is. Sports buzzer. Don't you become a sports talk station. But now I want to get away from the technical to get, we got to get to more something we can fight about. With Willie Mays passing, who now has the title of greatest living ball player?
Oh,
because
geez.
prior to his passing, it was arguably Ted Williams, and then I think it almost that title, if you will, almost automatically went to Willie Mays, and some would still put it at Willie Mays, you know, even before Ted Williams left us. But where are we now? And I know who's not. But as somebody who grew up a Minnesota Twins fan, I mean, Rod Carew immediately comes to my list in like, you know, he'd be on like my top five somewhere. But he's also the last guy that, you know, really came close to hitting 400. And so I've been watching some of the debate, if you will, on social media.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is there's not a consensus pick out there. You know, you see, you know, Mike Schmidt, for example, Pete Rose gets a lot. And you know what? Pete Rose could actually be in that conversation. I am one of those who would not put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame right now. You know, as maybe after his time is done, you know, we can get back to what a great ball player he was. But he knew he wasn't supposed to gamble on the game, and he did. And that gets you booted. But in terms of, you know, greatest living ball player, yeah, I would put Pete Rose in the mix of that.
Yeah. I honestly don't know who's still with us to like to be able to really articulate a good argument in that conversation.
Well, then let's go with the other controversial one, Barry Bonds.
Yeah, I was just say Barry's still up there.
You know, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Alex Rodriguez would all be in the conversation, but all of them have also been, you know, accused of cheating. So it makes
not just
it
accused,
tough
found of cheating.
Like, or found like, of cheating. Yeah. Yeah. It does make it a little tougher to have those conversations. But that's one that's happening out there. Back to the Brewers. They took 2 out of 3 from Anaheim. Now they go down the road to San Diego for a 4-game series with Padres. And Bryce Wilson will take the mound this evening. Let's see, game time on that one is, 8:40, just like the games in L.A., which means pregame is at 8 o'clock on News from the Center in Richland Center, WRJN and Racine in Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. Those games with the Padres are 8:40 tonight and again Friday night, 6:15 on Saturday, and 3:10 on Sunday. A little housekeeping note that I'm going to get an earlier start to the weekend here, so you will hear my voice tomorrow, but you'll hear some pre-produced content, but you're also going to hear some new and fresh conversations. We will have our regular Friday conversation with Jim Santel, a former U.S. attorney, as we talk about some legal issues that don't involve Donald Trump, some cases that maybe didn't get the attention that they should have. And also, along with Dan Schumacher, long-suffering Cubs fan, we bring on board another long-suffering Cubs fan whose tweets we were reading last week. And that would be my old TV colleague, Bob Gallagher from WEAU 13 News. A little group therapy session for a couple of my favorite Cubs fans. All right, let's try to fact-check Donald Trump during his appearance in Wisconsin. We've got one reporter's take on it, so get comfortable. It's going to take a while to go through them all. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true.
In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
We come on this loop, John B. My grandfather and me. Around Nassau town we did roam.
Happy birthday to Brian Wilson. We'll have details coming up in today's history lesson, about 30 minutes from right now. 6 o'clock temperatures look like this around Civic Media Land. It's 58 here in Chippewa Falls. Hayward's at 50, Park Falls 53, Wausau 61. Green Bay 62, it's 62 in La Crosse, 66 in Wisconsin Rapids, 64 in Oshkosh, Madison at 67, Waukesha at 66 degrees. Before we get to Donald Trump, we've got to get to one of his acolytes here, and that, of course, would be Congressman Derek Van Orden from the 3rd Congressional District. Just a quick note that of one of his many angry tweets that he likes to put out, and yet somehow he still gets covered like a kindly grandfather by local TV around the 3rd District. But among the many was one about what's happening in the war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. And you can have your opinion on what's happening there, and people do. People have very, very passionate opinions. But there's still a line that I think most people respect and that you don't cross. Derek Van Orden, happy to bulldoze right across it. When he says in defending Israel, which again, that's his right, but he closes by saying, any American, especially a Jewish American, that votes for Biden is a cult member. I like one of the first responses to that is, now do Putin. And let's talk about what is indefensible. We don't do religious tests in this country. And that'll take us to the Louisiana law about the Ten Commandments coming up in just a bit. But first, again, because the former president was in Wisconsin, in a battleground state, for the first time since he became a convicted felon, Donald Trump told some of his usual stories, said all the usual things that denigrate people that don't look like him. And Daniel Dale, God love him. He is the fact checker for CNN. And so often, I mean, I was on Todd Alba's show yesterday, and he was mentioning that there was an article at the CNN website where Daniel Dale listed off like, you know, 12 lies that Donald Trump told in Racine. And I'm like, I'll see you're 12 and I'll give you 18 more, because when he was given time by anchor Abby Phillip, he actually breaks down 30 different things that Donald Trump said that were either, you know, mistaken, just plain wrong, or a flat out lie. It's going to take 3 minutes and 5 seconds. And at the end of it, the last thing you'll hear is Abby Phillip reacting to this list from CNN's Daniel Dale.
CNN's Daniel Dale is here with 30 false statements that Trump made in Wisconsin today. Daniel, take it away.
He said there was world peace in 2020. There was very much not. He said he won Wisconsin in 2020. He lost. He said the Democrats rigged the 2020 election. a lie. He said people around President Biden cheat on elections. No, he said people's votes tend to disappear. They simply do not. He said 107,000 people attended his recent rally in New Jersey. That's at least tens of thousands too high. He said he saved Kenosha, Wisconsin in 2020 during rioting when the Democratic governor wouldn't act to intervene. In fact, that governor deployed the National Guard before Trump told him to. Trump said cocaine was found at the White House about a month ago. That was actually about 11 months ago. He said it was hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of cocaine. It was a little bag, maybe generously in the hundreds of dollars worth. He said Biden orchestrated his New York criminal trial. Zero evidence of that. He said Biden was also behind all of his cases, including civil trials. Baseless again. He said Biden wandered off at the G7 and didn't know where he was. No, Biden was briefly chatting with a skydiver who had landed near the group. He said he was indicted more than infamous Al Capone. No, Al Capone had more indictments than him. He said he was in Washington the other day for one of his trials. He was actually there for meetings with congressional Republicans. He said Nancy Pelosi turned down his offer of 10,000 soldiers on January 6th. She never got such an offer and would not have had the power to reject it, even if she did. He said the January 6th committee deleted all records, just did not happen. He said he's the only president who didn't start a war. Jimmy Carter didn't start any wars. He said he finished the war in Syria, no, and got U.S. soldiers out. He actually left hundreds of troops there. He said Syria and Turkey have been fighting over their border for, quote, 2,000 years. That border, Abby, is less than a century old. He said insane asylums are being emptied by foreign countries to let people come to the U.S. as migrants. His own campaign cannot substantiate this claim. And he also said prisoners are coming in from jails in the Congo over the border. His campaign can't substantiate that either. He said President Obama cannot deport criminals to Latin American countries. Obama, in fact, could. He said Venezuela's crime is down 72% because of emigration to the U.S. Venezuela's violent deaths are actually down 25%, and that's for a variety of reasons. He said 17 or 18 million people have now entered illegally over the border. Experts say that's many millions too high. He said Biden's plans would quadruple your taxes. Total fiction. He said canceling Keystone XL, the pipeline, cost 48,000 jobs. That is wildly inflated. He said total inflation under President Biden is 40 or 50%. It's actually 19%. He said before he took office, there was a $500 billion trade deficit with China. It has never been that high. And in fact, the record was set under Trump in 2018. He said no previous president has taken in even 10 cents in tariff money from China. It is Americans who pay those tariffs. And the U.S. has actually had such tariffs on China since the 1700s. And finally, he said we're in the worst crime wave in modern history. Crime has actually plummeted in 2023 and so far in 2024. Abby?
And it's only Tuesday.
Abby Phillip, that's just great. And it's only Tuesday. I think, I feel for that producer who is like, okay, he's got 30 things to go through. And I can see him going, Daniel, I can only give you 2 minutes. Daniel Dale going, I'm going to need 305.
Sorry. Give me three and hold my beer. That's essentially, yeah.
And you see the problem here, of course, is that, I mean, if I asked you to, you know, recite some of those, how many would you really be able to get back, you know, in short order? Five, maybe, you know? But there were a lot there. Some of them were particularly, you know, egregious or just, you know, perverse, you know, in terms of, you know, telling things that you know aren't true. You've been corrected over and over and over again. And yet, if you dump enough of it out there, you know, you see your uncle, you know, spewing it back at Thanksgiving dinner. And that's where we are in this day and age. But again, it's a culture that says, you know, you're looking for power. You will say whatever it takes to get it. And, you know, following the rules, well, you know, that's for the little people, including things like, you know, being truthful. The conservative candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel, was stopped for a traffic infraction. Let's see, when was this in Dan Bice's column here? It's a note about him speeding at some point back. Now I'm missing the date on here. I want to get that part right. July of 2021. And as he was doing that, there's dash cam video that shows that he was driving 78 in a 55 mile an hour zone in Shawnee County. The trooper asked where he was going and asked if there's anything else that he should know, such as any probation issues or outstanding warrants. No, Schimmel said, according to Dan Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but then added, I'm a judge in Waukesha. Good to know. It's like we need Mo Green from The Godfather going, do you know who I am? It didn't work. He still got the ticket, though it was reduced somewhat. Good to be a judge that Scott Walker appointed. Luke and I will go over Top Chef Wisconsin, the big finale next. You're up north.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
If you don't know your customer, you could really be missing out on market share. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. You know, in this day and time, no farmer can make assumptions that you really know what your consumers are looking for unless you visit with them. And that's exactly what Brady Klatt did. He's a beef producer from Clinton, Wisconsin. He was on a recent trade mission to South Korea and Japan on behalf of the Wisconsin Beef Council. He said what he found out is the assumption we make in the United States that Japan and South Korea want variety meats is only partially true.
We kind of view our variety meats, as kind of the prominent products that are shipped over there, and that's not necessarily the truth anymore. A lot of like chuck roast or chuck eye roll, which is a big cut over there, is sent over there, and their Korean barbecue is a different style than what we traditionally consume over here. So it's really adding a lot of value throughout the entirety of the carcass, not just those variety meats that we might often think are being sent over that way.
Brady Klatt from Clinton, Wisconsin, one of the producers that was along with the Wisconsin Beef Council on a trade mission hosted by the U.S. Meat Export Federation to South Korea as well as Japan. Well, markets and overnight electronic trade, now that they're back in session after the Juneteenth holiday, a little bit mixed. Your numbers are next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empower Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
They're back at it in Chicago as far as the grain trade. Right now, December corn trading a penny lower at 466. November soybeans unchanged, 1132. July wheat down another penny, 581 a bushel. The July Class 3 milk right now up 18 cents, 1979 a hundredweight. The August milk up 8, 2038 a hundredweight. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers are trending so far for a Thursday morning. Hey, don't forget, more information available at MidwestFarmReport.com. Would love for you to sign up for our daily e-newsletter while you're there. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms with a high near 74. For tonight, showers and storms and a low around 63. On Friday, slight chance of a storm, otherwise mostly sunny, highs near 77. Saturday, scattered storms, mostly cloudy, high of 89.
Currently, 66 degrees.
WAUK is excited to see you at the Waukesha County Airport this Friday for another Food Truck Friday. This week is sponsored by Spring City Aviation. Enjoy some great food from Romero Taco Truck and the Sandwich Sisters. Grab some grub from the food trucks right on the ramp at Kreitz Field. It's a fun lunch break and something just a little different to kick off the weekend. Come experience some great local food trucks and spend some time at the airport with 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Flood risk can change over time, and a community's flood insurance rate map shows how those risks could affect you. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, has developed preliminary flood insurance rate maps for Washington County. FEMA also provides an appeals process for anyone with information that may change their flood hazard determination. To view maps, find a property's risk level, and details on the appeals process, please visit dnrwi.gov and search Washington County Flood Maps. This message is brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and FEMA.
Maggie Dawn.
Days 12 and 13 of Biden's top 100 will be touching upon the residential tax credit, leasing for offshore wind energy, biofuels, and clean construction.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
And there is another birthday here. That would be Lionel Richie that we're going to pass along in today's history lesson in 15 minutes or so. But the song was actually chosen for a reason. I rather thought that Mr. Mathers was going to be up all night long. Between the volleyball match and then catching up on Top Chef. And then he was going to get sucked into Brewers West Coast baseball. You're remarkably bright-eyed and bushy-tailed compared to what the expectation was for today, Luke.
Yeah, I am. And I'm quite thankful.
You sound surprised.
I'm quite thankful. Yeah, I was preparing for the worst, Pat. I was, yeah. And it was. I don't like missing volleyball. I really don't. But it was kind of delightful that it got canceled with the rain. So,
folks who've been following my travails of my pending elderliness know that I turn 60 in 2 weeks here, and every time you talk about volleyball. But there's a part of me that is just so nostalgic, you know, because I loved playing volleyball, mm-hmm. You know, when I was in that 30, 35 age range, and we had one for the radio station that I'd worked at. And then we had one for the TV station when I was working there. And I think it was like a Wednesday night, you know, volleyball league as well. Just loved it. That part of me is nostalgic. On the other hand, my knees are screaming out right now at the very thought of trying to do anything that seems like it might involve a vertical. It just doesn't work that way anymore.
That's okay. Like last week, there was some light rain and stuff before we were getting started. And while we were driving, because it was like a brief rain last week. And it was raining while we drove downtown to head to the court. And Kelsey kind of looked at me and she's like, are you sure you want to play like this weather? And it was supposed to clear up. And thankfully it did last week. But I kind of looked at her and I was like, I don't know how many more times I get to go out at 30 being like, let me go play in the rain. So I like really psyched myself up last week. And like there was some light rain, but it was a great time and we had a lot of fun still. And
It's so true that now it's like. It looks like it might drizzle. I think I'm going to cancel my plans.
Yeah. You know? And I was like, I have only got so much time left. It was like, I'm going to enjoy it while I have it.
You've only got so much recklessness. Use that recklessness
while
you can.
Exactly.
Use it for good, not evil. All right, let's get to the main event here today. And for folks wondering, Joe Sopecki is just a little busy and traveling or something this week. He will be back next week. But while Luke is here, we thought let's give a little extended time to the finale of Top Chef Wisconsin. Top Chef is a show I have never seen before. And after this season, based in Wisconsin, and after last night's episode, I may not ever watch again. But it was a unique experience watching these contestants compete in, again, what's called Top Chef Wisconsin, which I know from, you know, my 4 years living in the Milwaukee area. A lot of folks live in the Milwaukee area and they call something Wisconsin. Like, oh, we're Wisconsin's this or that. And it's like, if you never leave the Milwaukee metro or if you never get north of, say, Wisconsin Dells, you know, I don't know if you can slap the title Wisconsin on that thing. Top Chef Milwaukee would have been much more honest. I know they did go to Madison and they went over to Taliesin. But when you can't even be bothered to go to Door County for a Door County fish boil, anyway.
I was a little bummed out by that, too. The fish boil's not the same at Grant Park on the Milwaukee coast of Lake Michigan. I was a little upset that they didn't head up to Door County.
Anyway, nitpickiness aside, it was the finale. And, of course, Top Chef Wisconsin is going to have its finale where? Aruba, which is where they were.
on a cruise ship.
Hey, they were taking it from the Krylo playbook. They went to the Caribbean. Okay,
there. I like it. Okay, so there they are in Aruba. They were in Curacao last week. It's a 2-part finale, and they were on a cruise ship. Then all these other world famous chefs were on board the boat, and then came all the cooking challenges. Before I get through my notes, though, I want to say one more time that at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which you ought to be subscribing to if you aren't by now, yes, you should pay for your news when it's good. Rachel Bernard at the Journal Sentinel has just written so many wonderful articles, just a wonderful writer about the competition. She's done some extra articles about Dan Jacobs, the chef from Milwaukee, who's in the competition. And so she's got the recap as well on this. She warns at the top, as we do as well.
Spoiler alerts.
We're going to get to that. So, you know, like it or not, here we go. So we're down to three contestants. It's a little confusing because there's Dan from Milwaukee. And then there's Danny, and he's a chef from New York City. And then there's Savannah, who Rachel describes as the sweet Southern chef whose confidence and cooking prowess have skyrocketed near the end of the season. And she describes Dan, of course, as the hometown hero. And so, you know, off they go. The three of them are congratulated. You know, there's like tears as they're anticipating this final cutthroat competition. And they announce who all the guest judges are going to be. And again, you get this more than me. You know, they hear all these chefs' names, and I'm just like, who?
Did you know this celebrity chef? Yeah, well, they've worked with, like, Dan and Jacobs have worked with several of the, or I believe one, at least, of the.
So one of them comes in, and I know this one.
Thankfully, I was a little concerned.
It's the guy that goes, bam, bam. It's like, okay, Emeril. I know Emeril Lagasse.
Okay. Good. That was going to be my first question for you for today. It was do you know who the celebrity chef was last night?
that one I did get.
Okay.
So yes, there was. So it was there wasn't any kind of a quick fire challenge or anything. They just jumped right into the final competition here, and for it's pretty. I mean, basic in its premise, a 4-course meal.
Mm-hmm.
You pick it. It should tell a story, which I always think is a little. Off. I don't look for a story when I'm dining, but it's for them. It's like, tell us a story through a 4-course meal and with products that you're going to buy at various marketplaces in Aruba and then come back on the ship and make it. And, again, if you followed my recaps at all, we really don't get into the cooking part of it. It's, you know, what do we get for drama? And trust me, there's drama ahead here. But actually, I should say before they get into the grocery store and the markets, they're told that, you know, they won't be cooking alone, that you each get a sous chef. And so out come six of the former contestants to surprise them, six of their buddies who've all been eliminated, but were all flown down to Aruba. There's six of them. Each of the three finalists gets to pick one of those six as their sous chef. So three of them are going to be picked. Three of them have come all the way to Aruba to not be picked and to say, okay, go back to your
They just get to enjoy Aruba.
Get to enjoy Aruba. Yeah. Yeah, which probably killed them, but that's the way it goes. So Dan picked Amanda. The two of them have been tight throughout the competition. Savannah picked Michelle, my favorite besides Dan. She was the one who does Southern barbecue in Houston, I believe it is.
Yeah, Houston, Texas.
And then there's Danny, the guy from New York City. And for reasons I will never understand, he picks Manny.
I was a little surprised by this pick. And it was he picked second, too. So he had every option besides Amanda because Dan Jacobs picked first.
And there were some other good ones. Sue, he was available.
Yeah.
He was amazing.
Sue was available. Michelle was still available at that point. And several other of the chefs.
He picks Manny, who, again, if you're not watching the show, if I just say, oh, he's the big dumb oaf from season 21, people will go, oh, yeah, that guy.
While
he has talent, he could not get out of his own way. He was constantly making mistakes. It was like, how are you skating through week after week after week? I mean, you're good. You're like school lunch cafeteria good.
Whoa.
But what are you doing? I might be exaggerating a little, but no, here's what I mean. So they go into the grocery store, and at one point, while Danny's looking all over for Manny, just kind of wandered off like a puppy, you know, with ADD, and can't find Manny anyplace, needs him for the ingredients. Later on in the cooking part of it, Manny was supposed to help him with some melon balls. And Manny looks at Danny and says, "Oh, I used them all for the juice."
It's like, well, Danny told him
needs melon balls.
But Danny told him a specific amount of juice that he needed from the cantaloupes, and yes. He needed all of the cantaloupes that they purchased to make that much juice.
He did not. He made that much juice, and then he threw them away and said, "Oh, I didn't know I made them all for juice." So he had no melon balls. And then finally, he grossly undercooks the lobster. Manny does.
Stony lobsters are very hard, though.
Don't make excuses for the oaf.
It's not excuses. I'm explaining to the folks that don't know. It's not an ordinary lobster. It's a much thicker shell lobster.
You know if it's undercooked, and then you keep cooking it. You don't go to Danny and go, "Hey, what do you think of these?" They're undercooked. Anyway, so Danny, who, by the way, Danny is an artist, okay? Dan is one of my favorites Milwaukee. Danny is an artist. All through this, he's impressed me with how diligent, how caring, how attentive to detail. So why he chose Manny, total mystery to me. So they went through going back to the grocery store, Dan wanted these fresh sardines. And when you say sardines, you think of the little tiny things in the can. No. These were grown up sardines, like real fish. And the lady in the marketplace says, "Do you want them cleaned?" And Dan turns to Amanda and says, "Oh, yeah, sure. And at some point, they realize she's been gone a while. They look around, like the door around the corner. And by clean, she meant cook. She was cooking the sardines there at the grocery store.
And they were the last sardines.
And they were the last ones. Like, well, that option's gone.
Yep, there goes that for that meal.
Yep. So instead, they went with snapper, and that's fine. Okay, so now we're getting to the cooking, which, of course, is always, you know, Pat just quickly rushes through. But I've told you about how Manny undercooked the lobster. Another one of Danny's dishes, you know, needed salt. Another one of Danny's dishes, the judges said, was very complex. Savannah, meanwhile, made some pasta that was undercooked.
The dough was just technically not correct on Savannah's pasta.
And Dan got virtually, with the exception of the consistency of his tuna, got like perfect marks all the way through on certainly on the other three courses. You got these glowing remarks, whereas Danny was getting dinged for these things. Savannah was getting dinged for these things. And I'm looking at this going, oh my gosh, the guy from Wisconsin is going to win Top Chef Wisconsin. I mean, did it not seem like a lock to you at that point?
I wouldn't go as far to say a lock, but by going through each meal, I thought that the scales were in favor of Dan Jacobs. It felt like as the episode was unfolding that it was fairly clear that we were going to have Dan Jacobs run away with it.
Which, again, takes nothing away from Danny as a chef. Again, he's great. Savannah, as a chef, she's great. If you're judging on the whole season, that's one thing. But they weren't. You're judging on this four-course dinner that they just made in front of them, and Danny gave them undercooked lobster, a dish that needed salt, and a dish that was too complex, whereas they were raving about nearly everything that Dan did. So imagine my surprise and that of many others when Kristen, the host, says, "Danny, you are the next Top Chef." And you could just hear this collective, what? Except for Manny, who was like, "Ooh, this saved my day." I really think Manny was like given to Danny as kind of a handicap to say, okay, you're too good, Danny. We're going to weigh you down by sticking you with Manny here. But he picked him. So Dan, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they don't do a second and third, which is fine, but I mean, I would give Dan second for that. Again, even though Savannah did a great job. And look, Dan, he didn't get the $250,000, but, you know, he's got all kinds of notoriety now. He's not going to lack for work. Let's put it that way.
No, and he said as well in the wrap-up of the season, he was talking about how, because he lives with Kennedy's disease, which there is no cure for, and he's tried out for Top Chef 11 different times.
Yeah.
And so he was really, his goal coming on this season for Wisconsin, not just to rep the state that he's from, was to bring awareness and the advocacy around those with Kennedy's disease. And it was a very, very humble exit from the competition. He did not have to pack his knives, but he was not named the Top Chef there at the end.
Yeah, and again, I think it's good. It's great for the Milwaukee scene. And look, it really was a wonderful showcase for Wisconsin.
Yeah.
All of the beauty shots, the venues, the commercials with Wisconsin themes that ran. It was all in all a very positive experience. The outcome, I guess we have something to talk about, which probably makes the producers very happy. Today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Check, check, 1, 2.
These sounds can only mean one thing. It's Summerfest!
Milwaukee, are you ready?
600 artists, 12 stages, one epic lakefront. Don't miss three unforgettable weekends of music, June 20th through July 6th. Summerfest, presented by American Family Insurance. Find tickets, lineup, and more at summerfest.com.
It seems like the cost of everything is going up, so it's nice to save a little dough when you can, especially for something you love to eat every day. Before I go grocery shopping, I print out a coupon for $1 off any Country Hearth, Village Hearth, or Artisan Hearth bread product. My favorite is Dakota Style 12 grain. My wife's breakfast go-to is a toasted Village Hearth English muffin. We can save a buck on each. Go to countryhearthbreads.com/coupons and print one or two out before your next shopping trip. And don't forget, Country Hearth, Village Hearth, and Artisan Hearth bread products are baked locally and delivered fresh daily.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Oh no. Don't tell Donald Trump that on this day in 1975, Jaws opened in theaters, starting the trend of summer blockbusters. I'm just asking, what is it with Donald Trump and sharks? He loves to... It's like the only thing that would maybe make him scream and get up on a step stool, like cartoon women when they see a spider. He'd rather be electrocuted by a boat motor than deal with a shark. But again, Jaws opened up this day in 1975.
I think part of what it is, Pat, is his mind has not left the mid-70s to mid-80s for most of his cultural references.
I do know somebody who will not go swimming in any larger body of water. Like, he won't go into the Great Lakes. He won't, you know, if he's going to go fishing, he's going to go fishing off a dock because of Jaws. It doesn't make sense. You're not going to find sharks in Lake Michigan, but it had that much of an impact on him as a kid.
You don't know that for sure. The movie. You don't know that for sure that you won't find sharks.
Right? Yeah. Somebody's going to be the first one. Exactly. Born this day in 1924 was Chet Atkins, who developed the Nashville country sound. Chet Atkins passed away in 2001. He was known as the country gentleman and Mr. Guitar. That little ditty is called Canned Heat. On this day in 1972, during the Watergate scandal, when it was learned that there was a tape recording of conversations between President Richard Nixon and others regarding the arrest of operatives breaking into the Watergate complex, it was discovered that the tape had a gap in it, the infamous 18-and-a-half-minute gap, where it appears somebody went back and erased some of the information that might have been incriminating toward President Nixon and the planning of the Watergate break-in kind of thing. Like, it's kind of like Secret Service text messages suddenly disappearing sometime after January 6th, but who's to say?
That's strangely specific there, Pat, in your reference.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? We mentioned a couple of musical birthdays. I'll get to them in a sec. First, wishing singer Anne Murray happy birthday. She is 79 today.
Spread your tiny wings and fly away, and take the snow back with you wherever
If you thought of singers from Canada, Anne Murray was it for the longest time. And then Celine Dion came around, and then Avril Lavigne. So you've seen quite the progression in Canadian women who become superstars. But Anne Murray was it throughout the 70s and early 80s. We talked about Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, 82 today. Lionel Richie is 75 today. And actor John Goodman is 72. Of course, everybody knows him from Roseanne and so many other roles. But I saw a particular clip from The West Wing a week or two ago. And when he was acting kind of the Newt Gingrich role, if you will, but playing the role of the Republican Speaker of the House who had to take over during a national emergency. And that shot of John Goodman walking into the Oval Office as Glenn Allen walking is still, I mean, just great TV. Just classic Aaron Sorkin right there. On this day in 1978, Foreigner released their second album. It was called Double Vision. Had a title track that sounded like this. So the title track became a hit, as well as Hot Blooded, from the album that was released this day in 1978. Neil Young released his sixth studio album, Tonight's the Night, on this day in 1975. A couple more birthdays here. John Taylor, the bassist from Duran Duran and co-founder of Power Station, is 64. Gee, for as much as Kristen Lyerly loves Duran Duran, I mean, John Taylor seems a little old now for... Well, anyway, that's Duran Duran. They get older. Actress Nicole Kidman is 57 years old today. On the national calendar today, this is American Eagle Day, created to raise awareness of the bald eagle and to preserve their natural habitat. I think as time has gone by, fewer people know and appreciate that in the 1950s, the bald eagle was at serious risk of becoming extinct. The bird was classified as endangered in the U.S. in 1967, but through a lot of attention, went on to become a success story when it comes to the effectiveness of the Endangered Species Act. The bald eagle is no longer considered threatened and has a healthy population level. And true story, every Eagle Scout, Luke Mathers included, has to spend time in an eagle's nest being raised by a bald eagle for a time.
You're not supposed to talk about that part, Pat.
It's just part of the
that's part of the secret. How did you know? How did you find out?
I was a scout.
Yeah, but you didn't quite get there, did you? Did you fall out of the nest too early, or what happened?
I learned the secrets, and then they kicked me out. It was that and having a tough time starting a fire in the wintertime.
Oh, but. That was one of my favorite. The fire building competition where you put like a string like about 4 feet up and you have to see who can burn it first. I had a record at camp for a while. My name was on a board for how quickly I could get that twine to burn.
Okay, that's if you'll excuse me for a moment,
you brought up Eagle Scouts. You get your punishment is hearing about it.
I know, but now I have to fix your on-screen title for folks who watch under Luke's name. It now says, my name is on a board.
I don't know if it's still on the board. Hang on. It was at one point on a board. I can't confirm necessarily that it was still on that board.
I don't know that I can reconcile these things. It's Vanilla Milkshake Day, and it's Ice Cream Soda Day. Again, I don't know how sometimes two of these things happen on the same day. Do you want the ice cream soda or do you want the vanilla milkshake? Whichever one, apparently you get a day today. It's also World Tapas Day, which is awesome because, you know, you go to a bar here, what do you get? Maybe some popcorn, you know, I bet maybe yeah. Some peanuts. Yeah. I don't think anybody does peanuts anymore. It seems like every third person has a peanut allergy. But you go to Spain and you order a round of drinks and like, here's some ham. Here's
not
another
only some
little,
ham, some of the best ham you'll ever have in your life
that ever existed. Yes, and all kinds of other small plates of freshly cooked food. It's so good and increases sales of drinks. Who would have thought? So it's it's World Tapas Day. So learn more about that, and maybe somebody will order or open up a tapas bar near you. And finally, it is Ugliest Dog Day, which I think is grossly unfair because you know, every dog's cute, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's some uggos out there, but most of them are cute. I've seen an ugly dog. No ugly puppies, but there are some ugly dogs.
Whatever they look like, tomorrow happens to be Take Your Dog to Work Day. So keep that in mind.
There
as
we
well.
Go.
Much more ahead in the second hour of Up North News Radio.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin joins us at 11 o'clock. All things sports with J.R. Redcliffe and weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.